If you want to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Exodus as we continue our study on the names of God. And tonight we're going to be looking at the name Jehovah Rophe. Exodus chapter 15, beginning in verse 22. Now let me just kind of set the stage just a moment. God had already done some pretty miraculous things in the lives of the Israelites as they escaped Egypt by the hand of God, as He led them through the Red Sea on dry ground. Just amazing things that were happening. And He continued to show Himself during the day with the pillar of fire, or the column of smoke, and then at night with the pillar of fire. And I mean, they knew God was present with them. You know, sometimes I think, how could they see what God had done and then do the dumb things they do? And then I look at myself and I go, that's how. Because they didn't have God living inside of them yet. And I do. And I still do dumb stuff. You know? Well, I'm not pointing any fingers, Jess, but anyway. So, all right. So, after they'd been traveling for a little bit, we get to verse 22, Exodus chapter 15. It says, "Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea. They went into the desert of Shur. For 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink its water because it was bitter." That's why it's called Marah. "So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, 'What are we to drink?' Then Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. And he threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. And there the Lord made a decree and a law for them, and there he tested them. He said, 'If you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all of his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you.'" Jehovah Rophe. Now, here's the picture that I see that's painted as we read that passage, because everything that God does, He does for a reason, including allow them to understand Him by different names. Because these different names are just painting pictures of a characteristic of God. And so when he knew exactly where they were going. He knew that they weren't going to find water. He knew that when they came to the one place where there was water and it wasn't any good, that they were going to start grumbling, because that's the way people are, right? But it's interesting that when they came to this place and they found out that the water was bad, they didn't stop and pray. They didn't try to come up with some kind of solution. They just started griping at Moses, which is what they typically did. You know, even when God was providing them with manna every single day, they started griping at Moses. "Why do we have to eat this manna every day? At least back in Egypt, we used to have leeks and onions and all this stuff." You know, and they forget where they were. And what God had already provided for them. That's just like us, isn't it? We seem to not be able to be satisfied with the things of God. So God says, "Okay, I'm going to show you something." God says, "I am Jehovah Rophe. I am the God who is our healer." You know, it's interesting that most of the time, when we take prayer requests or when we talk about healing and God being our healer, we tend to think about physical things, don't we? In fact, I've been in prayer meetings where there wasn't a single request for anybody to be saved. There wasn't a single request for somebody to have spiritual wisdom. It was all about he's gonna have his ingrown tail removed, toenail removed tomorrow, and so and so is gonna have all this. And I understand that people, it's not wrong to pray for people's physical healing at all. But it tends to be so high on our list. And we think about healing in that manner most of the time. We usually think of physical healing. Why? Because we're so centered around the things of this world in many ways that physical healing seems to get a priority. You know, I think that God wants us to see beyond the physical things around us. In fact, I know He does. You might recall a situation where there was a man trying to tell his servant that everything was going to be okay. And the servant says, "Man, are you kidding? There's an army coming against us." You recall that? And what did he say? "Lift up your eyes and look at the army that's coming that God has." You see, when we just look at the things around us all the time and that's all we look at, then we get centered on the things of this world. And that's not where we need to be. Again, not wrong to pray for people's physical healing. I think it's all always important. But it tends to take over everything that we tend to pray for. I've seen prayer lists that are put out by groups and churches and all kinds of stuff, and almost every single one of them is, "This guy's in the hospital, this guy," you know. What about people that we need to pray for their salvation? People that we need to pray for spiritual wisdom. I mean, there's so much to truly pray for, but again, look at where they are. They're out in the desert. And when you're out in the desert and you're thirsty, what's the number one thing you're thinking about? Getting unthirsty. Right? Even though they were being led by God, even though they had just been through the most miraculous thing that any of them had ever seen, walking through the Red Sea on dry ground and then watching it collapse on the Egyptians right after them, they all of a sudden all they could think about is, "What am I going to drink? What am I going to get? How is God going to meet my need?" That's what we tend to think about when we think about this word healing, Jehovah Rophe. But listen to this, what God knows. All physical issues came into existence because of sin. You see, in the garden before sin, there wasn't any physical issues. There wasn't any need for healing because there wasn't any sickness. The curse of sin on this world and on us is that it's not perfect anymore. What God created is perfect is no longer that way because of our sin and our rebellion. And so as a result of spiritual sin, everything else is affected. And I think about that and I think about, well, we pray for all these people who are hurting and sick, you know, with diseases and all that kind of stuff. They're going to be there. The bottom line is, it's appointed unto us once to die. I mean, we are going to die because of sin. The wages of sin is death. That's just the way it is. It's going to be that way until God comes again, until He changes this to a new place, a new heaven and a new earth. That's all part of it. Now, it's not wrong. Again, it's not wrong to pray for people to be healed physically. And I've seen God do some amazing healing, even in my wife. I've seen that. Not wrong to pray for that, but just know that sooner or later, our physical life's going to end. It's going to, because of sin in this world. Genesis chapter 3, verses 16 through 19 says it like this. The woman, he said, "I will make your pains in childbearing." This is after Adam and Eve had sinned. God says to him, "I'll make your pains in childbearing very severe. Painful labor, you'll give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, he'll rule over you." To Adam he said, "Because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It'll produce thorns and thistles for you, and you'll eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you'll eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and dust you will return." Now, that sounds pretty morbid, like we don't have a hope, but we do have a hope. Because we know that this life is not it. But while we're here, while we're living this life, God has a purpose and a plan for us. And so when he talks about his name, I am Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals, it's a little deeper than the things that we tend to think of. What was the healing that happened here? Did he touch any of these people and make them not thirsty anymore? No. What did he touch? He touched the waters of Marah. Why? Because the waters were bitter. They couldn't drink them. The Hebrew word literally means unfit to drink, undrinkable, spoiled, even rotten. Now, with that in mind, think about what God saw when he looked at us in our sin. When he looked at mankind after we had sinned, God saw something that was perfect and pure that was now tainted and rotten and spoiled. God made us. God doesn't make anything imperfect. He made a perfect world. He made a perfect situation. He put us in this world and then we spoiled it, didn't we? And you might say, well, if I'd have been Adam, I wouldn't have done that. Oh, dear, don't get into that one. Genesis 6:6 said that God wished he had not made man because of their great sin. Think about that. Why do you think he felt that way? Because he knew what it would take to make them whole again. The precious blood of his son, Jesus. So think about this picture now. God saying, okay, yeah, I realize in your physical state, you're really thirsty and you need clean water. You need sweet water. You need to be able to drink something. I understand that. So Moses pick up that stick and throw it in the water and it'll become sweet. But there's a bigger picture here. There always is. When God is revealing part of himself. And look at this. God has a plan. In the instance of Genesis, God found a man who was choosing to follow him named Noah. You recall? And after God had looked and said he wished he had not made man any longer because of their great sin, he found a man named Noah who was, the scripture says, blameless. He was walking, he was following God. And so in essence, with a larger piece of gopher wood made into an ark, God says, I'll save man from extinction. But sin did not leave the world, and again, the world's still not perfect. I mean, recall right after the flood, and right after they were able to get out of the ark, what's the first thing Noah did? He went and got drunk. You know? We are sinful. There's no doubt about it. But God has a plan. Then God's solution for sin, I love this. And this is, again, how this picture, he's painting this picture. See, all along he's been painting a picture. Okay, first of all, you just throw a stick into the water, it'll be sweet. Throw the big stick into the water and I'm going to save some people through it. But then he sends Jesus. He is, by the way, the scripture says, our great physician. Not only for our mere physical issues, which he healed many people physically all along the way. He made blind men see. He made the lame walk. He cast out demons. He did all those things. He even raised people from the dead. But most importantly, he came for our sin sickness. So think about this. The perfect Lamb of God was also impaled on a large stick and thrown into the bitter waters of sin for us. And the waters were made sweet. See, Jesus said, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. Now, when I think about Jehovah Rapha, I think about a number of different ways that God is saying, I want to heal you. I want you to understand that I am the only one who can heal you. Not just physically. There will be a day when we will have a perfect body again. There will be a day when whatever we had won't ever be there again. Okay? There will be a day. But that's not the best thing. The best thing is this sickness that I have in my life called sin will no longer be there. It will be eradicated. And from God's perspective, by the way, through the blood of Jesus and the atonement of His blood, He already sees us like that. And to me, that's the most awesome thing to recognize about salvation. Because not only am I going to get to go to heaven and be with God and forever, and that's going to be so awesome, and I can't even comprehend what that's going to be like, but I'm already forgiven. In fact, Paul says we're already seated in the heavenlies with Him. I'm already forgiven. He's already healed me. He's already healed me. And I needed a healing. And so does every person walking around this town. And so we, you know, from our perspective, we can't just be focused on physical things all the time. And I think it's easy for us to do that because that's where we live. We live in the physical. But God's trying to say, open up your eyes. Look out onto the fields that are white to harvest. And pray that the Lord will send out workers into this field. And I think a lot of people say, okay, Lord, send some more people to be workers. And what's wrong with us being the workers? Right? Nothing's wrong with that. That's what we're supposed to be doing. And I know a lot of us feel like, well, man, I'm doing as much as I think is possible. But the fact is that God will raise up people in the midst of the struggle to be salt and light in a world that's hurting. He will. And by the way, the Scripture says, and if we don't praise Him, He'll make the rocks cry out. You know? So this healing that He's talking about is much greater than physical healing. This healing is that His desire is that every person who's ever lived can be spiritually healed. Spiritual healing. See, Jesus didn't come just to make lame people walk again. In fact, I've known a lot of people who've been in wheelchairs most of their life that are deeper spiritually than I'll ever be. He could make them walk if He wanted to. He could make, you know, Johnny Erickson be unparalyzed again. He could do whatever He wants to do physically. God can do anything. But He chooses to use people right where they are, in the way that they are many times, to touch other people. Because His purpose is not necessarily ever the physical. It's the spiritual. And for us, we have a hard time seeing that. Because as Paul says, we're looking through this glass, but it's not real clear yet. Someday we'll see face to face. Right now, it's kind of clouded. We really can't see everything, but God's trying to clear up our vision. He's trying to help us see from His perspective. By the way, that's the classic definition of the word wisdom. It's seeing things from God's perspective. And you remember I told you that little story about the man that took his little boy out and camped by the lake, and they went for a walk and got lost, and he just wished he could get up above the tree. So he see, when you're up above the trees, you see from God's perspective and you can see exactly where you are. That's wisdom. And so what does Scripture say about wisdom? If any of us lacks wisdom, all we got to do is ask of Him and He'll give it to us. But the reason we don't have the wisdom that we need is because we don't want to ask. That's not very wise. Right? So here's this picture. God says, okay, I'm going to make the water sweet for you. But I'm not doing that just so you can have a drink of water. I'm doing that to show you, to paint a picture for you and for me of what's to come. It's all God continued to do through his people, to paint a picture for things that were to come. That's why the tabernacle is so important. That's why his names are so important. I'm painting you a picture of the different facets of me so that you can see it at some point when you pray to your heavenly Father, our Father who art in heaven, you realize that I'm not just a God sitting up on a throne somewhere, but I am your pole of gathering, Jehovah Nissi. I am your banner. I am your healer. I am, and we'll go through each one of the things that he says he is, because each one of those things gives us another picture. Isaiah 53:5. Why did Jesus have to do what he did? He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are what? Healed. Oh, now wait a minute. Does that mean by his wounds I don't ever get sick again? No. Now here's the real key right here. The word rophe literally means to restore. To bring back to the place that it was. What was it? It was perfect till we sinned. God says, I am Jehovah Rophe, the one who will restore. What the worm has eaten, I will make new. What Satan has tried to take away, I will replenish and even better. You see, Jehovah Rophe is saying to all of us tonight, you're going to face things in this world because of sin. It's just the way it is. But I came to overcome this world. And I came to show you that I can touch and heal you from the inside out. Not physically. I mean, he can, and he might, and he does. But we're talking about something greater than that. Because every single one of us had a big hole in ourself. And we try to fill it with all kinds of stuff, and it just goes right through, and it doesn't fill it up until we found Jesus. And God healed us. He's Jehovah Rophe. He's my healer. And so when I pray, and I use the name Jehovah Rophe, what I'm saying is, God, you healed me. I was a sinner. I was bound for hell. But I called upon you and asked for your forgiveness, and I repented of my sins, and you healed me. You restored me to a right relationship with you. And that's why it says in Corinthians, he who knew no sin became all sin for us, that we might be made what? Right with God. Righteousness. I become right with God. And when God sees me, he sees me justified. Justified, never sinned. That's how God sees you when you come to Christ. Because he healed you. His healing is upon you. His spiritual healing is upon you if you've trusted him as your Savior and Lord. You're healed. And this town needs a healing. And our neighbors need to be healed. And some of our family members need to be healed. And we need to be seriously praying for their spiritual healing. And yes, let's continue to pray for those that are hurting and sick and you know, need a physical touch. But ultimately, we're all going to die physically. What good is it If a man gain the whole world, yet lose his soul. What good is it if you lived a long, prosperous life according to this world and die and be separated from Him? This world needs a healing. We needed a healing. Just so happens that we have a great physician. His name is Jehovah Rapha, and He is the God who heals. Father, I thank You.